I want to go back to add to something that we had in our wrap-up last week. This question about the source of the Hafarat Nedarim. The source of the Hafarat Nedarim for the Nara HaMirasa. So, according to Rabbah, the husband or the Arus can cancel the Arusas, the Nara HaMirasa's Nedarim because of the Pasuk. Because of the pasuk, ishto av labito, and he holds that the husband can only be mevatel dinim that are beino levena, things that are directly pertinent to their relationship,
The arus, and the husband.
A husband, an arus for an arim rusa, and a husband for a fully married man can only cancel the nedarim that are beino levena, and matters of inui nefesh. Matters of inui nefesh is explicit in the posuk in posuk yud dalid. Kol neder v'chol shvuat isar la'anot nefesh isha yekimenu v'isha yiferenu. Right, so there the posuk is explicit that it's matters of inui nefesh he can override, but matters of bein alavina is bein ish l'ishto. So the Ran says, we saw this last week, that the father is similarly limited in the scope of which nederim he can cancel.
Only in that period in which he's...
No, when she's... Beforehand also, yeah. In other words, that the father's ability to be mevatel, to be mefer, his daughter's nedarim, is not universal. It is limited in the same way that the husband's is. For inui nefesh and for matters that are beino levena.
But except that when she's a minor, she could be also mefer.
Whenever the father has a hand in her nedarim, when she's a minor and when she's a nara mirusa for his half of things that he has an opinion about.
His ability is always limited.
Is the same as the husband's, right? To matters of inui nefesh and beino levena.
Just to clarify, can you give an example of something that's not inui nefesh and not beino
levena? She wants to daven mincha. A woman takes a neder that she's going to daven mincha every day. It's hard to say that's.
It's very subjective.
As you can imagine, the Gemara tries to clarify things. Right. So you can, in other words, in principle, it's not a whatever. But we'll see in a second the definitions of each of these things has to become clarified. The Sifrei here in Parshas Matos and the Yerushalmi in the parallel Gemara here both say that this is a hekesh bein av lebito, ish lishto av lebito. Just like the husband is limited for matters beino levena and for inui nefesh, so too the father is from this hekesh. That seems like a reasonable source, doesn't it?
The father not for this, in everything.
What's going on here? Let me go back.
No, I'm saying,
Rabbah says, the husband, whether it's an arus or it's a full husband, is limited in the scope of the nedarim yikamim mevatel to matters of inui nefesh from the pasuk and matters beino leveina from the pasuk ish v'ishto av lebito. The Sifrei and the Yerushalmi say that limitation applies equally to the father from the force of the hekesh of
the father in all cases.
Yes. The Rambam, however, says differently. Look at the Rambam at the top of the sheet. This is the Rambam in the Nedarim Perek Yud Bet Halacha Aleph. Kol hanidarim v'hashvuot ha'av mefer biyom shamo shene emar kol nidareha v'esareha. It's a pretty good pasuk.
I want it oven on every day.
Whatever it is, whatever, you don't have to give examples. But there's no limitation. In other words, there's two possibilities. Either the father's rights in Hafras Nadarim are universal, or they are limited in the same way that the husbands are limited. The Rambam says beforeish, kol nidarim v'shvuot ha'av mefer ben b'yom shom'o. He has the same time limitation, but in terms of the scope, it's universal. And he has a pretty good pasuk, kol nidarim v'esareh. Aval habal eino yechol l'hafer ela kol nidarim v'shvuot sheyesh bohem inui nefesh, because that's pasuk yudalid. Oh, shehen bedvarim shebeino leveina kigon shenishba'a o nadra shelo tachol o shelo titkashet shenamar bein ish leishto. She takes a neder, I'm not going to wear makeup. She takes a neder, I'm going to wear dirty clothing, plastic bags, sak ve'efer. So that's a matter beino leveina. Right? But universal nadarim, the husband is limited. So the Rambam.
So veno vena is in that sense, like it's almost that subjective. Anything that could be inferred that impacts in some way the husband. Here, this is really
well
beside herself, but impacts him.
It could be that they are matters of the more intimate nature. Matters of more intimate, that a woman has obligations to beautify herself for her husband. Beino Levena has a clear connotation. So it could be that it's matters of the more intimate nature. Everybody else almost, but we saw it in the Ran last week, and almost all the other Rishonim.
So that case, maybe say something like this: that when you're talking about an arus, so that applies.
Yeah.
So let's say it's the girl is not engaged at all; she's just in her father's house. So then maybe there, as universal rights, to live for any night there. It's only when she becomes an arusa.
So that's I mentioned this idea last week. I mentioned this idea last week in the name of the tour. But before that, let's just try to figure out the regular case. So that's the Rambam, kol nidareha, as opposed to the husband who has limitations. So the Rambam.
What did the Ran do with that? With the pasuk that the Ran and the others do with the pasuk the Rambam quoted?
Kol nidareim, that he's allowed to be mevatel, right?
The Ran does not explicitly say why he disagrees with Rambam, or just ignore
him? No, they're not in discussion with each other, but we understand that they line up in different shitot. So the Rambam received the letter. We have it in the, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring it. In the letters of the Rambam, there's a small collection of letters that the Rambam, Shelot, Tshuvot, other matters, some interesting historical background, some personal, some of the biographical information that we know about the Rambam comes from these letters that he wrote. So there's a letter to the Chochmei Lunel. The Rambam was in correspondence with other Chachamim in the world, and one of the things that the Chochmei Lunel asked the Rambam about is this matter, this shita that he has about the father's universal rights, which seems to be against, well, it's against other Rishonim that weren't yet alive, but it's against the, what's the one big, what's the gun, what's the ammunition that the other Rishonim have? No, not the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say explicitly, right? The Yerushalmi, right? There's not our Gemara, but the Yerushalmi and the Sifrei, right? Which is the basis for the Ran and all of the other Rishonim that say that the father's powers are limited in the same way as the husband's. So the Rambam answers back that his source is here, the source that he quotes in the Mishnah Torah, Kol Nidareh Vesareh, which is Pasuk Vav, yeah? No? Somebody have all the other Pasukim? And it's Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zai, whatever it is. So So the Rambam says his source is there from the pasuk of Kol Nidareha, as opposed to the husband, who is clearly limited by Inui Nefesh in pasuk Yudalit. And number two, he says, the Rambam says, it's not shayich to say that the father's limitation is from a hekish of Beino Levena, because what does it mean that the husband is limited in the scope of his nedarim Beino Levena? Bidiyuk, like David said, intimate matters. Right? If she takes a neder that's going to impact on their directly on their sexual life, but let's say a kind of set of things around that, including maybe examples like how she presents herself. That's what it means that the husband has rights on her nedarim that affect Beino Levena. How can the father be parallel to that? Okay, is Bechlal not shayich? What?
Could make a poor reflection of the family. She walks around
and around. No. Yeah, but that's not a matter of Beino Levena.
But how do you have Beino Levena with Nara Marasa? Because there's still
no, because if she takes a neder when she's in Nara Marasa, that she's never going to put makeup on, so he's getting married next week, right? So he's got an opinion about that. She takes a neder about Miodea, certain chumras in Hilchos Nida, right? So that's he's got an opinion about that. But for the father, that whole realm is irrelevant. So how can you say, it's not shaykh to say that there's a hekesh between Beino Levena, Ish Vishto Av Levito, because it has to be, you're talking apples and oranges here. So that's a good kasha. How does the Rambam work? Is it mele the Rambam can be cholek on the Ran, who wasn't born yet, but cholek on the idea which the Ran will champion? But what does he do? But the Ran and the other Rishonim have a Yerushalmi. So what's the Rambam's answer? It's not in the Bavli. The fact that the Bavli does not mention that hekesh is a sign that it rejects it. And we're not chayiv to paskin like every shita in Yerushalmi or even Sfrei if the Bavli doesn't go like it. Now, the Bavli doesn't reject it. It just doesn't mention it. And he... No, it's two different things. One is Inui Nefesh, which is the Pasuk, and the other is Beino Levena, which is learned out from the Pasuk of Av
Bitoja. But you could theoretically argue that Beino Levena can be included in Inui Nefesh.
No, because she can do things that are Inui Nefesh for herself that do not affect the intimate realm.
But
Inui Nefesh for herself. Inui Nefesh means she takes a neder which is going to somehow be oppressive for her. She takes a, she's not going to...
So why Beino Levena doesn't include such things as making a neder, I'm no longer going to cook meat?
Because that's not how... And that's just not how it's, the phrase itself, Beino Levena, it has to include whether you interpret it widely or narrowly, it has to include at its heart the intimate matters, which are not either exclusively or not exclusively, but principally. And that's not shaykh for the father-daughter relationship. Right? That's how it's interpreted by Rov Rishon.
I'm not going to argue with the Rishon.
Right? Beino Levena is a euphemism for sexual matters.
Okay.
And then the third point the Rambam brings is that whenever the Mishnah or the Gemara talk about Beino Levena, whenever this category of Nidarim Beino Levena In every single case, the example that is brought is husband and wife. There's not a single example of the Gemara talking about the category of Nedarim Beino Levena, which is talking about a father and a daughter. So that's a... there's no smoking gun, right? These are all I'm blanking on the phrase. These are all proofs that are brought in the negative, right? The fact that there's no example in the Gemara Beino Levena between father and daughter, right, doesn't mean lo ra'inu eino raya. What's the English phrase?
Well, that's against the wrong one. Lo ra'inu eino raya. Lo ra'inu eino raya means that just because it doesn't say it, that means it's not approved.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying that this is the potential flaw in the Rambam's proofs.
Well, I mean, not lo ra'inu eino raya means it might still exist even if it's not there. But here he knows right. The Bavli. It's not like
absence.
It's a closed
absence.
Book.
What is the phrase? Absence of evidence is not the existence of proof. Right? So in other words, the fact that there's no example doesn't mean that the category doesn't exist, but it's a pretty strong indicator that the Rambam Shita is correct. So these are the three answers that the Rambam gives for why he thinks that the limitations that are placed on the husband do not apply to the father. One is what seems like a pretty good pasuk, kol nidereha. Oh, there it is. It's a pasuk vav. Why did I not see that? V'imeni avia ota b'yom shamo kol nidareha v'esareha. Kol nidareha. That all of her nidarim, the father has a hand in. No limitation. Number two, the hekesh does not apply because you can't compare the realm that the chazal or the Torah is limiting for husband and wife to father and daughter, where it's not shayich. And number three, Chazal don't bring one. In the Bavli, Chazal don't. Maybe Nusha, I don't know. But Chazal don't bring one single example of such a thing. Ah, what does the Rambam do with the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi? He's not obligated to pass like the Sifrei and Yerushalmi against the implication of the Shita of the Bavli, against the implication of the Shita of the Bavli that it doesn't apply. The Meiri, in going against the Rambam, the Meiri says that this idea that the Hekesh does not apply because it's not relevant to talk about intimate matters between father and daughter is not necessarily so. This is what you wanted to say. The Meiri is thinking like you've been. The Meiri says no. Every relationship has its own parameters of what goes between husband and wife. Everyone understands that there's certain matters that pertain in that relationship that don't pertain in other relationships, right? Between employer and employee, we talk about yachsei ma'avid va'oved. This is not relevant for the matters of nedarim. An employer has no rights over the nedarim of his employees. But we understand that within that relates a special relationship recognized by law and by halacha, right? And there are certain things that are regulated in that relationship. There are certain things that are regulated in the relationship between Rav v'Talmid. There are certain things that are regulated in the relationship between Av v'ben or Av v'bat. All types of relationships have their own unique. So each and every relationship has its own parameters of what Beino Levena are, or Beino Leveno. So when we say there's a hekesh between Ish v'ishto, v'av v'bito, that means what? It doesn't mean, like you want to say Rambam, for husband and wife you're talking about intimate matters, and therefore there can't be a hekesh because there are no intimate sexual matters between father and daughter. It means, the hekesh is, whatever the beino levena, the hekesh is the existence of the notion of beino levena. right? Just as it exists. And in each relationship, according to its own dynamic, right? It's not shaykh to talk about the sexual matters between employer and employee, between Rav and Talmid, between father and daughter, right? But each and every relationship has its own parameters of what that, the nature of that relationship are. And that's what we're makish. That's what we make the equation for, the transitive principle, right? That just like father and just like husband and wife have special parameters, so too husband, but even though each one is going to be different. So who's it doesn't mean you can't knock out the heckish just because of that.
But that would also mean that
so what would be an example of the Beino Levena between father and daughter, says the Miri? Yeah, I'm making that I'm not going to serve him food. If we think like the Meiri,
then we would apply it broadly in every category. So between a husband and wife, it's not restricted to the intimate aspect. She could also make a neder, never cooking meat again.
Right. So here, there's like an irony here. In order for the Rambam to be expansive, he has to be limiting. He's expansive because he says the father has universal rights. Right? The father has universal rights, and the universal rights are created once you limit or eliminate the hekesh by having a narrower reading than the Yerushalmi and the Sifrei and the Rishonim that come after them, that leads to an expansive ruling about father-daughter relationships in the Dharma.
If you didn't have that...
My daughter loved this whole idea, by the way. As I'm sure your daughters would also.
If you didn't have the letter to the Chachmei Lunel, then you could read the Mishnah Torah as being more expansive in the definition of Beino Levena. It doesn't have to be limited to intimate.
Correct.
Just because
they have
an example.
Yeah, no, this is an interesting... The letters, look, this is one of the critiques on the Mishnah Torah, famously, that the Rambam did not give neither his sources nor his rationale behind his rulings. It's, as they say, apodictic. He gives you the bottom line. And this, in the critique that was launched on the Mishnah Torah, you're aware of this, the Mishnah Torah criticism, not just because he included philosophy, which was considered very suspicious, but even without the Sefer Mada, even the pure Halay, Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam was criticized because it was viewed that it would change the whole nature of Torah study, would change the nature of Torah authority. And one of the critiques was that he didn't give his rationales, he didn't give his reasons, he didn't. But in this case, you have this interesting window into his mind because he was asked to explain himself. I mean, like if you went up to the Rambam after shul in the morning and said, hey, you know, can you help me learn this Rambam? You know, so he'd explain it to you. But in the Mishnah Torah itself, he did not include this material. So here, because he has this letter where he was asked to explain himself in this one particular halacha, and he does, and the letter survives, and we have it. So you have this kind of window into the rationale. But in Achinami, without the letter, we wouldn't know.
Catching up.
Ah, I see. So now let's go on in the new sugya. Samechet Omer Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 lines down. Iboiluhu. What does Iboiluhu mean?
He came to him, he asked him. No, there was some background.
Bo'e, I've told you many times, Bo'e has three meanings.
To inquire, to require, and to desire.
Yafet. Iboilhu. They inquired of him, of them, right? It was a shaila, or a question You say, you understand even in English these terms are related. Right? Titkabel Saloton U Boton. What is a boton? Sloton is Tfiloteinu.
Right.
Right. Uvoton, bakashatenu.
Right. Like the uncle son, what's Yaakov saying to his bakashati? Because the bracha to Yosef, and uncle Shimon is
ba'aton. Tfilatenu bakashatenu. Right. No bakadish. So a bakasha is a statement of need, a statement of request. An inquiry is, meaning to inquire, to ask a shaila, is similarly a statement of need. There's a piece of information I don't know. So an iboilu is a question, but it's an it's not an attack question. It's not reminhu, it's not matkif. Right? Those are attack questions in the Gemara. One Amora said this, and another Amora cracked him over the head and said, what are you talking about? Iboilu is an information question. I want to know something. Iboilu. Bal megas goyes o miklish kolish. When the husband for a Nara Merusa, and again, the Baal here means the Arus. You have the father and the husband together. The Na'ara HaMiruasa makes a neder. The Baal is Mefer the neder. Is he Megas Gayez? Does he sever, like Gozez? Gozez means to shear, to like you shear the sheep. Right? Does he sever his share of the neder, or miklish kolish? Does he weaken the neder? That's when he's mefir. What's happening? How does it work when you have two people in partnership? In a normal case, a husband and a wife. So a wife makes a neder, one of the types of nederim that the husband hasn't allowed to have an opinion on, and the husband says, ani mefir. So what happens to the neder?
We had said that that was a
puff of smoke.
Oh, you say just one, not
yeah, no, when she's already married, when she's fully married. Okay. Right? When she's fully married. Or when she's not yet engaged and the father's in charge. And one of them are mefir. What happens to the neder? Puff of smoke. Disappears. She takes a neder. She takes a neder, she's not going to eat olives. As she's putting the olive into her mouth, she's a fully married woman, not a Nara Merusa. As she's putting the olive into her mouth, the husband is mefir.
What does mefir mean?
He cancels it. He exercises his veto power. What happens to her? Bateavon. She has a shaila. How many olives are there in a kazayit? He doesn't mefir. He's not mefir. He doesn't veto it. What happens?
She broke her neder.
She broke her neder. She's chayav malchus. But when it's
olive.
But what's the nature of? What's the nature of the partnership neder? When one of them, here in the case in the Gemara, in the Shai in the Gemara, is the husband. When he's mefir, but the father has not yet done anything, has he merely separated his 50%? Or has he weakened the whole thing entirely? The Gemara will explain. Well,
the words again?
Megas gayez, milashon gozez. To chop off, to sever, or miklish kolish, from kalush, to weaken. Look at the Ran here.
And again, it's talking about Which case here it's talking about?
With the Nara Mirusa. She's engaged, and okay. You have like the double, you have the partnership between father and
so we're
and
still ours. With the partnership.
Yeah. So look at the Ran. Look at the Ran on the first wide line at the bottom of the Ran. Iboilahu bal megiz gayezo miklish kalish. Klomar arus. She'eno mefer ele b'shut futeha da'av keshe mefer. In other words, when the arus cancels, he has to do it in partnership with the father. Keshemefer chelko megiz gayiz klomar shechotech chetzi haneder lagamre umivatlo vechetzio acher nishar chazak kibatchila.
I don't follow
you. What are the possibilities? You have two partners, right? Right. You have two partners.
Why is there? How do you split an edge?
How would you split it in half?
Does it depend on the type of netter?
So the Gemara gives an example.
Okay. By the way, is it significant that they're talking about here? I think the question is for the Baal, or would the equal question apply to the Av as well?
We'll see in a second. The Gemara understands that it's either way. It's just by way of example. So that's, so hechikim abay, what would be such a case of having a half a neder? Kigon de nadra mitrin zetin. She took a neder, she won't eat two zetim. Right? Either she won't eat these two specific zetim, or that she'll never eat two zetim together. But let's, for the sake of simplicity, let's say there's two zetim in front of her, and she takes a neder. I won't eat these two zeitim. Could be such a thing. Could be such a thing. We do it all the time. You're sitting there at dessert. You already ate more than you should have eaten humanly possible. You can imagine such a thing. And there's a cake there, and you're picking at it, you're nibbling at it. There's a, right? So what do? You say, take it away from me, right? You know, you don't want to be tempted. So she's already eaten so many zeitim. She says, these last two zeitim, I take a neder, I won't eat them. V'shama arus v'hefirla. And the arus is mefer her neder. How can the arus be mefer her neder? No. Is this one of the things that arus is allowed to be mefer? Is this beino levena?
No, it's
inui nefesh. If she takes a neder, she's not going to eat these things. That's inui. She's depriving herself of the pleasures of the zeitim. Varus heferla ve'achal ve'achal tanun. Iamrinan megiz gayiz. If we say that when he was mefer, all he did was
his part.
Remove 50% of the ned there.
She's chayiv on one olive.
So she's chayiv now on one olive.
Why would you have a ned? You'd only be 50% of it. I don't even like. Is it just totally a hypothetical, almost ridiculous thing, or is it actually like we would assume that yes, of course, if he's with her, he's only fair 50%.
You and I are partners. We want to buy something from someone else. All sales, whether it's an individual or it's two partners buying something, right?
So this is time to check.
No. There's a negotiation. How much we want a low price, he wants a high price. Presumably, there's a gray area in the middle that he would have been willing to settle for. If we offered him, I don't know, let's say you are selling a bottle of scotch. What kind of scotch?
Whatever you like.
Well, you name a scotch.
It better be a good bourbon. Delmore. It's mine. Okay. It better be a good bourbon.
Dalwhinnie. You like Dalwhinnie?
Dalwhinnie's good too.
How much does a bottle of Dalwhinnie go for? Give me the ballpark. What's the best price you could hope to get? And what's the best price you could hope to get?
$60 a liter at duty free in Moscow.
$60 a liter duty free in Moscow. Right, how much does it cost when you take it out of your father's cabin in Chicago?
Doesn't cost me a penny.
But to buy it on the open market and not actually steal it from your own father, it costs, the best price you can hope for is $60. What's the highest price? As the British say, how long is a piece of string? Right? The highest price is whatever the seller can get for it. But presumably, as Adam Smith taught us, the hand of the market is at work, and there's a limit to what any seller imagines he can get for it. Let's say the upper limit is $100? $100. So we go, we're partners. So we go let's say $120. So you, maybe because of supply and demand, maybe because you're the only liquor store in town, maybe because you're the only importer of this fine whiskey, you want to charge $120. We each have to put up $60, right? If you back out, and I have $60 still on the table, will you sell it to me?
Half a bottle.
Well, no, you can't sell half a bottle. Well, you might.
In other words, half of it first.
No. You might sell it to me because, in fact, it didn't cost you $60 to buy the bottle. The markup was very high because you thought you could get away with that. Right? But if you sold it at $60 in the duty-free in Moscow and they sell for $60, they're still making some kind of profit. They're not losing money on it. So presumably, you just have a big market. You might sell it for $60 if you have, let's say, an excess inventory that you need to move. So you might sell it for, so when you cancel, you fink out on me. Purim's coming up. We have to start buying liquor. We're going to go together to Purim soon. You have to get drunk. Purim is on a Thursday this year.
Yeah,
Thursday. It's a three-day weekend.
All right, so you have the whole weekend to sleep it off, Dave.
My father will be here.
Excellent.
Oh, that should be nice.
So when you think out of the deal, do I still have a deal or not? Well, it depends. If you're willing to sell it, so I might still be able to get away with this bottle of scotch and save myself from the big markup you were going to charge both of us. But if it was a case where $60 is not, for you to sell it at $60, you would lose money. There's no way you're going to sell this.
Okay.
When Dave backs out, so there's no deal. He's completely weakened our hand as buyers. So it's not an exact parallel. It's not an exact metaphor.
I don't even understand the beginning of this connection to Nether. I don't know. I don't even understand. I really don't know what's going to happen. Her nether is she's going to daven mincha every day. That type of nether is a binary.
Let's stick to the two olives.
No. Because
the example that the Gemara gives is specifically.
No, I don't understand the example of the Gemara. I'm saying if you have the concept.
I don't even understand the connection of the example.
Well, no.
Of the Gemara,
I'm saying let's step back. if a nether can be a binary thing, and the principle that it can be a binary thing is because it either is or it isn't. So, what difference does it make if it's two olives or one olive, or, you know, which is half mincha? Because if it's one olive, is it half an olive?
If there's something quantitative, does one of them make for the nether, get rid of half of it, or...
In something where it's binary. You either did or you didn't. You either... She takes the nether, she's never going to drink any wine, not a drop. Right? So it's either she did or she didn't. But here, the specific case in the Gemara, which may be there just as a kind of construct to help us understand what is the nature of the dual hafara.
If it's just a construct, I understand, but as a concept, as practical, it
because it's going to be relevant for the question of the sugya we're getting into now of nitrukna. What happens when something goes wrong and the two guys that have to turn the key can't for some reason do it because one of them dropped dead? That's the case that we're getting into.
The thing that I thought I was catching up on was actually reading ahead.
If she takes, let's say they're married, if she takes a nether that constitutes two parts, like let's say she takes a nether that she's never going to cook during the week, chicken and meat. Can the husband bimatia only the chicken part?
Ah, so that's a different sugi in the Gemara about whether you can divide in a neder
into the case.
That's a different case. It's not relevant here.
Right? So even if you could divide it then, it wouldn't make a difference that you can divide it now. That wouldn't help.
Right. Do we look at that as two different nedarim, or is it one neder? And part of it has to do with the way in which we learned this in the last parak, right? Check your notes, right? It depends on the nature of the wording of the neder. Do we view it as one blanket neder, or do we view it as two separate nedarim that are grouped together?
So when she takes the neder here for two olives, it's still considered to be one big neder. It's not like...
No, but when we saw for Hataras Nedarim, right, if you make a neder, I'm not going to eat chicken, I'm not going to eat meat. Right? Or I'm not going to eat chicken or meat. Right? Or I make a neder, I'm not going to eat chicken, and a neder that I'm not going to eat meat. So when you go for Hataras Nedarim, if you get rid of one of those things, do you get rid of all of them?
Right.
Or do you only get rid of one? So it has to... That was this. We learned that sugya in the ninth parak. Of how the wording is, how the neder is phrased depends on whether it's a joint neder or.
I thought maybe that would hold you, and that would give us a proof one way or the other.
No, I don't think so.
Is the question?
So in this case, outlandish as it may seem to you, so she takes a neder; she's not going to eat two olives. The husband, or the arus, is mefer that neder, and then she eats the olives. E omrinin megas gayes. If we say that he merely severed off his half of the neder, or his rights on 50%, but the other 50% are still there. So in fact, by eating one of the olives, either of the olives, she violated the neder as far as her father still has rights. Lucky. She gets malchus. Iamrinan miklish kalish. But if we say when the husband cancels his share, it weakens the entire neder. So either she should be absolved, or the Gemara says isura ba'alma. It's merely an isser. There's no punishment for it. In that intermediate time, from the time she took the neder to the time that the husband, after the husband canceled his 50%, so she still can't eat the olives. The Gemara says out of safek, because we don't know.
So she only ate half an olive. She'd be okay in any case, because she hasn't even gotten to the first part. So you haven't even gotten to the...
You're talking about chatzishir, or you're talking about...
Well, you're saying that one olive she hasn't got the father's approval yet. But with half an olive, she's not even there.
Right.
I mean, that's what goes back to the original question. You're not really, if it's binary or not. If you're saying this could be broken up.
So the Gemara asks Mai. So which is, when one of the two partners is Mayfair, what is the nature of that hafara? Does it merely get rid of 50% and it leaves 50% of a neder? Or does it weaken the whole neder across the board? If neither of them are Mayfair? No, because it's still only one neder. The Isser is one Isser. For her purposes, even though there are two people that have control over this, the neder itself is one neder, and the violation of the neder is one maaseh aveira. She's not sinning against her husband and her father. She's sinning against Hashem. Right? It's not two isur. So the Gemara now introduces a rather lengthy brisa. The brisa has multiple parts, and that's what you have this chart explains the different shitot. We're not going to get through the whole thing today. But the brisa is tashma. So you have to look ahead. You have to look ahead at Daf Ayin Omud Aleph. Let me look at your Gemara. Because the brisa is really talking about the next Mishnah. The Mishnah on Ayin Omud Aleph says, in the case of a Nara Hamirasa, where you have this partnership between father and fiancé, Meta Av, if the father dies, she takes a neder. She takes a neder. And before the father or husband, well, you know what? Hold on a second. That's what the Bryce is going to be explaining. Meta'av lo nitrakna reshut labal. If the father died, his rights do not literally nitrokna empty out. His rights are not voided, are not transferred to the arus. In other words, the arus only has 50% share over her nidarim. If the father dies, if there is no father, that doesn't mean that the arus now has 100%. He still only has 50%. Meit habal, if the husband dies, the Gemara will explain that we're talking about if the arus dies during when they're engaged. Meit habal nitrokna reshut la'av. So then she goes back to being, what is she? If her fiancé dies, what is she? She's a revaka, right? In other words, what in this bridge in the middle, the erusin in the middle, she's changed status. She used to be a pnuya. She used to just be daddy's little girl. Now she's already half married. If the father dies, it's very sad for her, but her status hasn't changed.
She's not married.
She's still not a pnuya legamre, and she's still not married. So if the father dies, nothing has changed in terms of her nedarim. The husband doesn't acquire more rights in the absence of the father, because her status is the same. But if it's the opposite, the husband dies, what happens?
She reverts to original status.
10 steps back to the other side of the bridge that she started off on, and she goes back to being a single girl. And therefore, the rights revert to the father. B'zeh yafeh koach ha'av mikoach ha'bal. And in this regard, the husband has more power than the father has more power than the husband, right? Than the fiancé. Right? Now that we're closer to having daughters getting married than we are to becoming sons-in-law ourselves, this makes sense. B'zeh yafeh koach ha'av mikoach ha'bal. B'davar acher yafeh koach ha'bal mikoach ha'av. But in another regard, the husband's rights are spirits of the fathers. Shehabal mefir beger va'av eno mefir beger. That the a bogeret. Right? The husband has rights even after she becomes an adult. The father's rights only extend up until the time that she becomes a bogeret. Your daughter is an old maid. She never got married at the ripe old age of 15. She's a bogeret. The father has no rights over her nedarim. So in this regard, the father is a limitation, even according to the Rambam. The Rambam, who says that the father's rights are universal, they're universal in scope, but not in time, because there's a deadline. His universal rights, and according to the other Rishonim, his limited rights, only go up until she is 12 and a half years old. So go back to our Gemara and Samaches. Tashma. Eimatai amru meit habal nitrokna reshut la'av. In which case do we say in the Mishnah? In which case do we say that if the husband dies, his rights revert back to the father, and the father now has 100% over the nedarim of the formerly na'ara hamiruasa. Bizman shelo shama habal kodem shiyamut. O sheshama vishatak. O sheshama vehefer vemet bo bayom.
Because they have to pass a day for it. Yeah?
What?
Because they have to pass a day for it to...
Yeah, in other words, because why? In other words, three possibilities. Three possibilities. She takes a neder. Right? This morning she took a neder. The husband either didn't know about the neder and therefore had no opinion about it. He neither vetoed it nor did he confirm it. So it's kind of still in play. He drops dead. What happens? Now it's all up to the father. Or he heard about it and he said nothing. And before the day ended, Biyom Shamo, before the time ended, he died. He neither exercised his veto right nor his ratification right. So the neder in theory is still in play. He dies, goes back to the Sheshama vehefer vemeit bo bayom. What?
Because the day didn't pass.
Right. Zohi sheshaninu meitabal nitrok nereshut la'av.
Why is the day need to pass? I mean, it's the person who does pass. It's like a requirement.
Because he could have still gotten hafaret nedarim. He could have still, on that day, he could have changed it.
He did change it. He's the affair.
Shema v'hefer.
He's b'fair. He's b'fair. But it reverts back to the father who can be mekayem oto.
Who could be mekayem?
But the baal is not even fair. So why did the fact that he didn't die the same day prevent the father from being mekayem the neder?
Does he still have time to change his mind afterwards?
Look at the Rashi. Oh, Rashi had a little bit of a different girsi here, but lo mishaneh. Oh, sheshama vehefer chelko bo bayom, sheshama vaafilu shama veshatak, shelo hefer velo kiyem velo hispik laharot daato ad shemeit bo bayom, dehoil vachtei eika shahut bayom, dei have bal matze mefer. Ikala meimar de mita gormalo de dilma I have a kayem ach de have a mefer lo mikame de la avar yomo uma boba yom ka ashma vishotok. In other words, hold on. Hold on a second. Is something wrong here with the gears? No. You see. Hold on a second. Kodem Shiamut O Shishama Vahefer O Shishama Vashatak Vemate Boba Yom. Okay, well, we'll come back to this next week.
There's a little comment in the notes in the sign top.